Christian thinking. We started last week, and I said the purpose came up because the request came up because some people mix up their thoughts with being bad people, and they confuse the things that go through our minds. And if I'm supposed to be a Christian, why do I think that way? And then you got some people that even lie to themselves and lie to others as if all their thoughts are wholesome and they never have a bad thought. And you must be something must be the matter with you, and so on and so forth. And we wanted to get an understanding of how thinking works. And thinking, we understand, comes from the two types of functions, and that's your conscience and your subconscious. Okay, so you see the two. The conscience is what you choose to think of. If somebody told you think of something, or you choose to think of it, or the subconscious, things that are triggered by something, usually by the flesh. You smell something, it may make you think of pie that you had when you were younger, things of that sort. It's not something you chose to do. It was something that was triggered in doing it. So and we wanted to make sure we understood that one verse that some have quoted incorrectly, where it says, as a man thinketh, so he is, that is not the case. And it's very important for us not to even say, well, it does mean that. No, it doesn't. It's actually the verse, how a man is going to be how he thinks. You know what I mean? You're like, well, isn't that the same thing? It's not. Because how you think, especially when your subconscious comes, a person who is glorifying God, it will not affect him. He will not allow the subconscious to come to him. The flesh is still going to be triggered. That's the thing. You're still going to have bad thoughts. Things are still going to be triggered. You're still going to have lustful thoughts. You're still going to have angry thoughts. You're still going to have those. But the godly person, it will not trigger. It will not trigger their actions. It will not make them respond. So that's what we want to understand, that everyone has bad thoughts, either through flesh triggered subconscious or out of control conscience. And everyone thinks different when not of the same mind. Now, remember, there's a whole nother sermon on Christian minds, which is the path you take. We're all supposed to have the same mind, but we allow people to affect our thinking, and then we allow our thinking to affect our minds. And that's where we get confused and get thrown all over the place. It's not thinking wrong could lead to disastrous outcomes. And that's why the one verse is, if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You get a lot of people that are very confident. And we're taught to do this in church in their Christianity. There's a difference between being confident in your Christianity. But if I'm wrong in that confidence, I'm still wrong. God's not impressed that I'm confident in being wrong. You understand that? You know what I mean? That even going back to that verse that we talked about earlier, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That person's continually checking to make sure they're in line with God. Today, we keep creating these overconfident Christians who are actually fooling themselves. And we're going to see that in a little bit as we're going over this review. Our thinking about ourselves must be based on what God says. We're all created with a purpose. We're all created as a part of the body. That's why when, as being born, what my job isn't to say, to grow to see what I can be, is to find out what God made me to be. You understand that? But a lot of times we allow people to guide us based on us. Thinking you are something does not make you that something. In fact, it deceives you. That one verse that says, the man that thinks that thinks he is something when he is nothing, deceives himself. You catch that? That's where we know that one verse is canceled out. So I can think I'm a Christian when I am not. Doesn't make me a Christian. And that's a common practice today. You got a lot of people who, because they think it, they think they are it. And Satan wants you to think all you want, as long as you're not it. Remember, because he says, my righteous ones will walk by faith. This is where the works thing comes in. Our works will show the evidence, not what you think you are. So it's very important that we know that. So things to be aware of that we saw under thinking was, God does not think the way we think. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. So that's why you won't get it. So stop trying to get it based on God. You know what I mean? You just follow God and trust in God. But when we try to think God's thinking the way we think, we just distort God. We're bringing him down to our level, and he's way beyond that. The wrong relationship with God will distort our thinking. So if we don't have the right relationship with God, and he guides that relationship using his word, Our thoughts will cause anxieties at times and could distort our purpose. You know what I mean? If I allow my thoughts to have a strong influence on me, and your thoughts are counted as your flesh, the subconscious part of it. And if I allow it to distort me and make me react in a certain way, once again, I'm driven by my flesh and not by the spirit. And God gives the remedy for anxieties that are caused by thoughts. Remember, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but through everything, through prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, presents your request to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The purpose of that, he didn't say he'll give you what you want. He didn't even say he'll take away those thoughts. It's the protection of me in Christ. If I give that to Christ in the right way, that's where prayer really works and how we're supposed to pray in the right way. So how do we deal with bad thinkings where we started? And we said the world's way of thinking is worthless and dangerous. As we see today, what's happening dangerously is we're allowing a lot of world influences to play in our Christian minds. That's why it's still part of dangerous times. We are gathering what some people are saying in the name of God and has nothing to do with God. If we don't recognize that the world's way of thinking, we'll start accepting some of what the world says. And once again, you're still held accountable. Okay. A fleshly purposed person will have evil conscious thoughts. If my purpose, whatever my purpose is, whatever I focus my mind is what my thinking will be. Ungodly people live and think based on their desires. Okay. Because your good desires is your God, not God. You understand? And Christians must not try thinking both worldly and godly. We must commit all our thinking to God. And that's, once again, we're trying to have the best of both worlds today. And this is why it's such a mix up, because we're trying to serve this group and this thing that I like and be a Christian. We don't realize we cancel that out there. You can't be both. He says you cannot serve two masters. Okay. So immediately we cancel that out. And this is why wrong relationships with the world and things of the world will dangerously distort our thinking, because the world is always catered to me, which should be a master, or and not to God. So if I say I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm still catering to the world, which is catering to me, I'm trying to serve two gods, once again, which God lets you know is impossible. You cannot do that. And that's where we last left off. So here we go. So we should not tolerate evil thoughts, whether conscious or subconscious. Now, what do you mean tolerate it? I can't stop it from happening, but I don't give it any weight. It says in Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts. Okay. Look what Jesus says to the, you know, because the one thing about the religious leaders stuff, when they would come around, he knew their thoughts. Okay. And through the Holy Spirit giving them that ability to understand what they were thinking, Jesus said, why do you, watch this, entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? The key word or the Hebrew word for entertain is not, it's not meaning why do you have evil thoughts? It's why are you now, after you have the thoughts, messing with them? Why are you even considering them? Do you understand that? You may get mad at somebody and say, I want to strangle that person. That thought may come across. Now, that's an evil thought. It's the person that goes, so how can I get away with strangling them? I wonder if I could. Now you're entertaining it, because now you're thinking deeper in that evil thought. You're considering that evil thought. This is where lust plays into play. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, where what, how can I get away with this without doing wrong? Stuff like that. And that's why he says in your hearts. And then it will lead to sin. That in itself is not sin. But when we start entertaining, when we go, you understand? And this is what he's saying. We get the subconscious, or even when I think of something on my own, if it's not in line with God, let it go. Don't even consider it. I've heard some people say some what the world may call very interesting things. But the next step is, but God says this, and that settles. But you still get people to go, yeah, but what did he mean by this? I want to know what he meant by this. And I don't understand what he meant. And next thing you know, you start seeing them do this curve away from God, because they're entertaining thoughts that are not of God. You see, God empowers us to control our subconscious effects on us. Basically, it should be on us, not affects us. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. God empowers us to control how our subconscious affects us. You understand that? So we have that ability. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, that's the stuff that's happening outside that hits us. But watch what he says here. And we take captive every thought. What it didn't say is we don't have the thoughts. No, it says we take captive. And what does that mean? That means I now grab these thoughts. And what do? To make them obedient to Christ. What that means is no matter what that thought is saying, if it's not in line with God, I'm going to be in line with God. If it is in line with God, we're going to stay in line with God. In other words, no matter what that thought is saying, it does nothing to change me being in line with God. Do you understand that? That's why it says we take the thoughts to make it obedient. And you hear people that say they understand it, but you still get people that get wavered. But what about this? And how come this happens? Why do we go through this? You're allowing the thoughts to make you move away from Christ, to question Christ. This is exactly what happened to Eve. This exact thing. She knew the answer. He told me not to eat from the tree and not even touch it. But you saw when he started going, no, he really didn't say that. Then she saw, and we do the same thing today. Instead of us going, that's not right. Or sometimes even if it's not right, I don't see that in the Bible, so I'm not doing it. See, that's that reverence. When we have that fear and trembling, it's, I don't remember where God said that. I'm not messing with this. You get people that'll dabble into some things dangerously, ignorantly, because they allow the thought to get stronger weight than what God gave. It's something that's happening more and more, and it's dangerously getting us in trouble, especially with the spiritual battles that we're having. But you see, we have this power. This is a spiritual weapon that we all have access to. But if I don't access it, I'm spiritually losing. And this is an important part right here, because I think sometimes you get some of these people, and we were talking about it on question and answer. I know people, and I'm going to talk about this again on one of the upcoming Order My Steps. But I remember being in a class, or it was a group, where this guy came in. He was talking about demonic things and stuff like that. And he had a pamphlet and he had a book and he was going through all this stuff. It was a very interesting class. I very much enjoyed it. I heard his stories. It was such an interesting thing until it came down to the one question. Where are you getting this stuff from? And of course, he said, oh, God gave it to me. So in other words, half the stuff he was telling us when it was coming to deal with demonic forces and what was demonic and what was not, wasn't in the Bible. It was him telling us that God told him. Now, at a young age, I think all of us were like, oh, okay. And still as we got older and we were like, how do we know that God told him this and that it's true? While God gives us stuff like this, that's not as what, as we call interesting sounding. It's not that wow factor. It gives us this basic thing. And this is the actual spiritual part of the spiritual weapon we have. And we don't do this. We do what this guy was saying. He's giving us, you got to say this word. You got to do this. Make sure you follow this. And make sure you don't bring this in your house. And don't watch this. And we get caught up in all that other nonsense. And I call it nonsense because you won't find it in the Bible. And you still got people that are dabbling in it. Oh, no, don't do that. You ever hear people get that mystery and that stuff? I understand that. But if it's not in God's word, why are you fearing it? Why are you even dabbling in it? And this is what he's saying. Instead of me following the spiritual weapon that he did give me, we follow this other stuff that's more interesting sounding. And it really messes us up instead of, once again, just using what he gave us. Now, to be clear, lustfully pursuing is an action of the flesh that can be a product of thinking, but it's not the thinking itself. I heard a minister one time give a thing on your thinking is sin. And he used this verse. Let's hear what the verse is saying, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Matthew 5, 28 through 30 says, but I tell you that anyone, watch this, who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Now, the point he's showing here is when he says the term looks at a woman lustfully, if you ever looked at the Aramaic or the Greek in that, it's an action. That's an action. So in other words, the thought of lust may come across. It's now you're pursuing that. This is a looks after a or looks at. So in other words, your focus now is going towards them with that in mind of, man, I would really like to, or what can I do? And he's saying has already committed adultery with her, and that's why he adds in his heart now, because it's starting to be added to the purpose. You understand that? This is the action. This is the point where you're pursuing it. Now, when the thought comes over you, which is a fleshly thought, that's the fleshly thought. That's where it ends. We read that in James 1, 13, which it gives us that understanding. That's that desire that battles within you. But when you don't give it a thought, when you don't entertain it, it's not sin. That's what you must understand here. But that's why he's saying, if your right eye causes you sin, gouge it out. Some say this is, just metaphorically or whatever, however you want to do it. What he's saying to us right now is we can't allow what we see to be the thing that ruins us and makes us sin. That's why you got people nowadays saying stuff like, well, I couldn't help it. And it was just too much for me to take, because we allow our flesh to dictate what we do next. Do you understand that? To lust after is a process. We got to
I
do
got a
good.
question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if some, so you're saying that it's not the thought, it's the action. So say for instance, a person is coveting something, if they think it in their head that they would like to have that, they want that, but they don't go out and pursue it, then it's not a sin.
Nope. Coveting is not the thinking of it. Coveting is the pursuing it.
Oh,
Coveting,
okay.
I can really, really, really want something. But when that never affects my actions, it's just a thought. That's not the sin. All sin is action.
Oh, okay.
Coveting would be, man, I got to have it, so you see it now affect my actions. So in other words, something as simple as if I said, Lisa, we're going to work harder because I'm going to go out and get a Bentley because I saw the people down the street, they have a Bentley. And now my work is towards Bentley. That's me coveting. Because now I'm coveting. Now, if in my mind I go, man, I really want a Bentley, and that sits there, that's a desire. As long as I don't entertain it, it's still just a desire. It's an evil desire, but it's not, I'm not doing anything. It's part of my flesh, but I'm not pursuing it. I'm not doing anything with it. You got where I'm coming from. And
Yeah.
as long as it does not affect my purpose, my life, or anything of that sort, I have not sinned.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people think coveting is the thought. No, the coveting starts with the thought. You see something, go, hey, I really want that. Now, what's your next move? But you would go, oh, well, and you go back to work and doing what the Lord says, you're fine. It's just that's the flesh trying to get you, but it didn't get you. So thank you for asking that. So, but like Job said, if you notice what he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I mean, that's something we almost have to do with ourselves of, okay, I'm going to make sure I maintain myself that I don't do this. And when he says, he didn't just say that I won't have lust. That's not what he said. He said that I won't look lustfully. So in other words, when the thought comes, everybody gets them. There's going to be people you're attracted to. There's going to be things that are going to happen. There are going to be people that'll make you angry. There are going to be people that'll make you sad. All this stuff is going to first bring a thought. It's what you do next. You understand? One of the things that is important when we try to train our kids is, Sister Lisa was asking earlier on bullying and stuff like that. In certain cases, you know how we say our kids to ignore them? If we can train them in that is huge, because most of the things that kids deal with bullies are the thoughts, especially now with cyber bullies and stuff like that. You can go, you can say what you want, it don't matter to me. You understand? And even though you may feel, because the thought, you train yourself to go, but I'm not going to engage or entertain. And the more we can train them in that, the less affected they are. One thing I always said, and he got my son, who got very honest from my wife, in which he was able to, and I think in high school, be himself in certain cases. He just didn't let stuff bother him. You know, if they could say something about him, he'd kind of shrug his shoulders and move on. Man, dress the way he want, do whatever he want, and he enjoyed himself. You understand that? It just wasn't something that was high on his list. You understand? And but you get others, man, that their image and how they look, and when somebody says something really, really affects them. I wish I had that effect. I would get affected when I heard people say stuff. What they mean? Why would they say that? This and that. Instead of going, you know what I mean? And yeah, so what's the big deal? So this is the key in which we have control on what our thinking does to us. But too many times we allow our thinking to have too much of a say. So now understand that desire of the flesh are stirred in our minds and are extremely dangerous when we succumb to them. So here's the process of sin. And this process shows sin. This covers how sin works. And it shows you when sin happens. Watch this. James 1, 13 through 15. When tempted, No one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desires. This part is the first and important part of the thinking. Because if I don't like it, I won't think about it. You understand that? Okay? So I won't desire it. Then it'll be a thought and go, oh, you know what I mean? If somebody said, we're going to have, like I said, coconut cream pie, I hate coconut, so my thought's gone. No, I'll go have something else. Now, if somebody said, we're going to have something chocolate or something like that, it may stick in my mind. Now I have to control, man, I don't need chocolate. Let me move on. You see what it is? But the thought's still there. Man, you can have and you can enjoy and so on and so forth. So it starts with the thought, still haven't sinned. He is dragged away and enticed. What's this dragged away and enticed? The first dragged away part is the seduction part. That's when you do, like I said, lust after. When you start, I could really go for that. I don't know if I did that a little bit or if I just hung around that person for a while or if I just, that's when you're now allowing it to become a consideration. You're entertaining it. Still haven't sinned. Okay. And enticed. That's when you're now trapped. You allowed it to corner you. And the key word, you allowed it to. You're not really trapped. That's why God says, when tempted, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, and he will provide a way out. So you never trapped. When a person go, I couldn't help it, that's a lie. You understand that? That's a lie. Christians saying that, they're lying. Because they're basically saying, I didn't trust in God. You understand that? They're trapped because they didn't trust in God, not I was trapped. And then it says, then after desire has conceived, because you allow these two things to happen with this thought, it now you sin. Your actions respond to that desire based on you entertaining it. It gives birth to sin. You see how that works? Same thing with coveting. You see something. I really want that. That's just the thought. That's just the desire. You understand? It's not until you go, I could have that and I deserve that. And how come I can't have that? And why do they have that? Now you're going through the dragged away and enticed. And then your lifestyle or whatever you do, when your actions go towards this, instead of glorifying God, that's the sin. And then even that, if I repent and I move on, okay, I messed up, life goes on. True repentance is turning away from it. But what happens with this part, people give birth to sin, they continue to do it because now the gratification that it gave to the flesh, now you want that too. And you want it over and over again. So you continue to sin. And that's why it says when sin is full grown, gives birth to death. Evolution of sin. God put that perfectly for us so we understand that. So the thought is still way back here. And you got some people that think they already blew it. Now, in some ways, that's probably good, but it's messed up some people to the point where they just think I'm doomed. There's nothing I can do because I get these evil thoughts. And then you get the other people, like I said, that lie to people, act like they don't get the evil thoughts. And another reason why they don't think they get the evil thoughts is because we've lowered the bar and we desensitized ourselves on certain thoughts that are evil that we no longer call evil. Think about that. Okay. Very important for us to know that. So this is how it's not until you put it into action that it is sin. All right. So now, how do we then enhance the good thinking? How do we take the good thinking and really work with it? First of all, the Bible is what we must use to get and keep a clear mind. We are, especially today, with the internet, television, access to people, we get so much information today. And even if you didn't, if somebody said, I'm going to go off living off in the mountain, the most dangerous thing that's going to affect you is you. All right. Things that go through our minds and stuff like that really get to us. So a lot of that comes in. So the one thing that helps us is not just reading the Bible to say I read the Bible, but to read it as this live book. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. Now, if I read the Bible as studying like a chemistry book or a physics book or something like that, I'm just reading it as a book to gain information. I'm missing the point. When I go to the word as I'm going to Christ, realizing it is Christ answering me, it is Christ checking me. That's why it says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. When this is double-edged, it cuts both ways, the healing process and the punishing process. The Bible hits both ways when I go to it as my complete understanding guide and my complete keeping me straight and putting me in the right direction. That's why it says it penetrates, watch this, even to dividing soul. So it penetrates who I am and spirit, the spirit we have, and joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts. This is all flesh. All of this is flesh and the attitudes of the heart. Okay. And all of this comes down to that only the Bible covers all of it when we go to it for that. Now, when we treat it like a book is why you can get some people that come in here and go, Josephus said, or this other person said, or Pastor so-and-such said, and we'll consider what they said and not what the Bible said. You ever think about that? Have you ever, like I said, we have verses in the Bible. One reason we always bring up the hair one is because it's one of those that seems so trivial. Nobody talks about it. And he gave a whole chapter to it, but we kind of, because Pastor so-and-such said, or this theologian said, or this expert said, and we're treating the Bible just as a book, not as living and active. Living and active is what the Bible says. You won't budge from it because you'll say, but the Bible says, because it's the thing that's going to judge us. In fact, Jesus even said, I'm not the one judging you. The thing that's going to judge you is that very word that God sent for us. That very word is what's going to judge us. And this is where, when we get to that final time, that judgment, he's going to say, okay, what did you do that for? If I give him some of the lame excuses that we give today, I'm in trouble. But if I go, your word said, even going against Satan, if we use some of the garbage that we try to use to beat up Satan, he's laughing at us while we think we're being powerful in the Lord and all that. And God was like, I didn't tell you to say that. Jesus showed exactly what it is written. The power of this word soundly is beyond what we can understand. But we watered it down so much, we don't take it that serious. In fact, we allow deception by not thinking through the word. Do you get this? 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind somehow may be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Okay, you have some people that sincerely in God want to follow Christ, but he says your minds may somehow be led astray. Why? Because you're allowing other stuff. I learned a long time ago, don't have a human respect for no human being. Don't have a human respect for no organization. Don't have a human respect for any book that's put out there. The only main thing I have is a strong respect for God. Everything else has to work through that. I don't care how great the speaker or who this person is or what degrees they have or what they've done. All that stuff is meaningless. If they're not giving me the word of God, it's meaningless. But you still get people that are seduced, misled. I heard this person. He was so profound. He was so this and that. And we get misled, just like he said, like Eve was. It says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, if you receive a different spirit than the one you receive, different gospel from the one you accepted. Watch this. You put up with it easily enough. We allow our thoughts to be affected and we have the answer right in front of us. A lot of these answers that we are struggling with, we have clear answers in God's word, but for some odd reason, we still struggle with it. Because we put up with nonsense instead of, I need you to show me that in the word. Till you show me that in the word, we ain't good. You understand? I've had people come and they brought some of the most crazy things in life and they wanted, and I was like, show me in the Bible. I would tell people, I said, you bring something crazy and if you show me in the Bible, I'll get in front of the congregation. That's what we're going to preach because it's in the word. I said, but you give me some of this other junk that you find, we have a problem. And that's how you got to handle it. Now, we must allow our thinking to be led by true wisdom. There's worldly wisdom, which is false, and then there's true wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18-21 says, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise, watch this, by the standards of this age. Here's the problem. We got some brilliant people. One of the order of my steps that's coming up is going to be on intelligence. One of the worst things the church did was bring in intelligent people. Why is that crazy? Because we brought in worldly intelligent people. And then we start following their worldly intelligence and not their godliness. That's why he says he should become a fool so that he may become wise. When he says to become a fool, he's saying become stupid. And I remember this process. It was in my early 20s where I stopped everything that I thought I knew about God, gone. And I had to start from scratch. It was a painful thing because stuff I was learning, I had to fight through what I thought I already knew. And this is what some of us go through. There's some stuff that we think we know and we're not letting go of because we haven't become a fool. We're still holding on to that thing that I think I know. I'm almost sure I know this. Instead of going, I better make sure it's coming from God. You understand that? When you totally wipe out everything and thus becoming a fool so that he may become wise, he's saying there's a reason. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. We got some of the most brilliant people who are the biggest fools down here, and we're following. It says, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts, watch this, of the wise are futile. That means they're worthless, meaningless. Please don't get caught up in their brilliance. You got to get caught up in the person's godliness. Our thinking must be based on God using godly wisdom. He shows this. Proverbs is that book that really breaks down how wisdom is a big part of our protection and our guidance. He says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Y'all catch that? So in other words, when I say every work, going back to works again, everything I do is 100% based on God, for God, in order to glorify God, it's going to affect my thoughts. Catch that? He also says in Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. You get people who will say stuff, and you hear, and this is what's dangerous. You ever hear people do something foolish and they'll go, and God will protect me. God won't let this happen to me. God won't, when God didn't say it, that's foolish. You're putting something on God. And that's why I say sometimes we tend to do that, because sometimes one of the easiest way we come out with something, before I did it, I prayed. If the Bible gives me instruction on what not to do, you understand? And I say I prayed and I didn't follow this, my prayer is meaningless. See, prayer is in line with his word, which is the guidance and understanding that I need. That's why he says, wisdom of the prudent is to give thoughts to their ways. Hey, what exactly am I doing here? And how is it in line with God? Not, I just made a decision. I'm going to do this. Because you should be able to biblically explain every decision you make, every decision, not give these emotional feelings you do. And once again, let's say you don't give it to anybody else. You still got to answer God. What if you're dead wrong? Instead of going, God, your word said, and this is why I did that. Proverbs 14:15 says, a simple man believes anything. And we got that today, man. I got so many garbage on the internet and I heard people come back and I heard this spaceship came down and we all came from another planet and blah, 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 and all this other nonsense. And it's at first you laugh at it until you hear how many people believe it. And then you're like, oh, wow. And it's sad because simple. We got foolish minded people that now they can write anything. We're sitting there going, seriously? It says, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. What does that mean, gives thoughts? I'm thinking about it and applying it to God. Is that where, you know, what the Bible is showing? See, we must be in control, based on God, of how we think of things. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 says, brothers, stop thinking like children. Because children just think. Their minds go crazy and they just go with this. He says, but watch this. He says two things that get confusing to people. He says, in regard to evil, be infants. Do you understand that? Because to do evil, you know what you're doing. You're doing something that is wrong. And infants, you know what I mean? They just do. They're not thinking. He said, make that out of your mind. Make sure that's not a thing. Don't even allow, don't entertain that thought. Like infants aren't going, what can I get my hands into? Because they're infants. They're totally innocent, as you will, as you may think of it. Now, that folly builds up in them, of course, and we get it as they're born. But the thing of it, as infants, they don't have that mindset. He's saying, be that way. Always just doing what you're supposed to in God. But he says, in your thinking, be adults. I think some of us, we like to be simple. I didn't know. I thought and I felt. And that's what kids do. And that's what God is saying. That's why he didn't, you know, give in to that, the guy who hid his talent. He didn't go, I know, man, you really thought. Remember he said, you know, I knew you were a man that worked hard and didn't harvest where you reaped and didn't reap where you are, and so on and so forth. And God said, give his talent to somebody else and throw him out in the hell. Because we're adults. There's no excuse for that. So our thinking has to be mature. As a child, I thought as a child. You understand that? But as I got older, I put away childish things. You see, we need to strive for our deepest thoughts to be pleasing to God. So this is part of glorifying God in whatever you do. I want my thoughts to even to be in line with God. It says Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can you honestly say, and here's where our problem comes in. Some of the things I have to think, I'm not going to like. But as long as God likes it, that's the key. Where we struggle is exactly that. A lot of times we're like, how can I think and meditate and do something that I like and is for God? And then we get these people that think they're getting both. Come with us and you'll get to serve God and serve yourself. And isn't that great? And they just sold you a lie. And because we're simple, we go, I can do it. We must ask God to check our thoughts that are affecting us. This is a part of the prayer we're asking, because some of our thoughts are the things that makes us. I ain't gonna lie, I watch the news. And some people say, that's why I don't watch the news. It's not a why you don't watch the news. You want to be able to be around things that are going to affect you without you being affected. So instead of me doing it my way in avoidance, what happens when I can't avoid it? I will follow what it's saying. Like in Psalms 139, 22 to 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's basically you're saying, I want you to guide me. I don't want my thoughts to guide me. There's a lot of stuff in the news, a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of stuff I see at work, a lot of stuff being around people. I hear stuff that triggers me. But what's my next move? This prayer. God, I don't want to be driven. I don't want my next action. I don't want my response to come from what I just thought. I want you to check me to make sure everything that I'm doing is basically showing you that I'm headed towards eternity and not getting stuck here in this temporary evil. You see, the key is not what we think, but that we love God, believe it or not. All right? Your thoughts, you shouldn't give so much to, but that you're always loving God. He says in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 3, now about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Everybody does, some more than others, but everybody possesses some knowledge. There's stuff you know. But watch what he says. Knowledge puffs up. So sometimes in my thoughts, especially now because we have so much access to certain things, we can do certain research and it makes us feel emboldened in things and it puffs us up in us. And that's what Satan wants. He wants us to feel like we just got so much information. We got it. We're smart. And in other words, we end up being stupid because we're not being built up. We're puffed up. Puffed up is being full, but nothing really changes. You just got a whole bunch of junk in you and you think you got it. But he says, but love builds up. I mean, a whole teaching on loving God. Remember the verse where it says, if you love me, you do what I command. That's the person living to love God. That's why it says, love builds up, knowledge puffs up. So those who are just reading the Bible just to have the knowledge so they can go out and try to beat up. And some don't even do that. Some pick and choose what they want out of it. And then they read all this other nonsense out there to say they have this knowledge. Instead of a person loving God, I want to represent and only do things that are fully based on him. It says, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know, watch this, as he ought to know. A lot of stuff we think we know until we really sincerely bring it to God, we really don't know. This is why we can convincingly, and we as Christians can convincingly say when somebody gets up there and says something that they call God, they can go, no, it's not. And it's not because we're being ignorant and mean. We're like, that's nowhere in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. I need you to really give me that in the Bible. But other than that, that's nonsense. And you almost have to say it with a passion so they don't entertain it. But you still got people that are doing it. That's why I say it's, but the man who loves God is known by God. There's a lot of people who claim God. A lot of people claim Christianity. But because of the effects of their thinking, they're so far away from God. Finally, God gives guidance to what we are to think about. And this is why he says in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Keywords, whatever is. What Satan has done very successfully has allowed us to redefine these words. There's certain things down here that I'm watching people call noble, call right, call pure, have absolutely none. These are characteristics of Christ. If you don't know what these are, these are, so when a person displays Christ, they're going to have these characteristics, and they're basically saying displaying Christ. But I'm hearing people give this to man. I'm hearing people give this to situations. I'm hearing people give this to items. And they're thinking on those things. Instead of checking, he said, whatever is. And if he is the way, the truth, and the life, then he'll tell me what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is praiseworthy. We know nothing else down here is praiseworthy other than God. He said, think about the things of Christ. He was like, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and God of peace will be with you. Your thinking itself is dangerous when you give it that much strength, when you give it that much power over you, okay? But once again, it comes down to it. It's up to you. You're going to have mixed up, messed up thoughts, and the best practice is controlling them. The more you do that, the more spiritual you become. Less you do that, you're living a lie. Any questions? Amen. Hopefully that helped. Like I said, it was something that was put in place because questions kept coming up about it. And I think it was deceiving many people because they really thought their thoughts were in the wrong place. We're going to look to try to do Elihu in the next study. Next week, we will not have Bible study. Means Lisa will be out of town. I encourage y'all small groups to get together, but everybody, please have a blessed Thanksgiving and enjoy. But always, every day should be a Thanksgiving with the Lord. You know what I mean? We want to thank him all the time. It's not limited to one time. And let us truly understand what we're thankful for. I think a lot of times we take that for granted as well. So everybody have a safe one. If there's any traveling, please be careful. Pray, have guidance, and shine your light in every situation. Remember, we represent God. Amen? All right.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear God, for your guidance. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you for giving the clarity that you give us. Help us to stop clouding things with all the other stuff that we add to it. Help us to come together as one, dear Lord, as your word says, to be one in mind. Help our thinking not to be the things that we allow to affect us, but that we are truly being those that are affecting other people's thinking through our prayers and through our strength and through our actions that should glorify and display you. Continual blessings upon those who have lost loved ones, dear Lord, those who are sick, those who are struggling, those who are just having a hard time with life, those who are misled. We ask you to help us to stay in that path that we represent and we shine and we show you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask, our Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
Amen.
Love you all.
Love you. Good night.
Have a good night.
All right.